Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Hello, and welcome to Brokenomics. Now, in this episode, I want to start talking about investing. This has been by far the most frequent question. We recently had a Q&A, and we had to filter out the questions on investing because, well, we had too many questions to get through as it was, and I kind of felt that they needed their own segment to get into it. Now, unfortunately, I don't think that I'm going to give you the answers that you're looking for. I suspect what most people are looking for is for me to say something along the lines of, you know, go and buy this stock or asset and, you know, watch it go up by 5% smoothly a month. And then a year later, you get to, 2 years later, you get to cash it in and spend it on something that, you know, is valuable to you, you know, holiday or paying off a mortgage or whatever it was. Now, unfortunately, it's not that simple. Furthermore, I can't give you advice anyway. I actually studied my career in wealth management, and I got the necessary qualifications at the time to be able to give advice, but I'm not up to date on my investment qualifications at the moment, even though I probably could give you good advice, because advice is something which is very personal to you. And actually, I think by the end of this episode, you're going to understand that that's the wrong way of framing this question. And you'll see why it wouldn't necessarily help you anyway. What we're going to do is we're going to look at a way to think about this so that you can arrive at the correct solutions for you. And it won't be a question of you having to ask me, you know, what it is that you should buy, because I'll give you the framework to think about this throughout this series. Now, you have to remember that most people are actually really bad at making investments. If I were to tell you from, you know, the old line, buy low and sell high, I'm sure you're all going to agree with that on a sort of conceptual basis. Because I started my career in wealth management, I know that a lot of people basically do. In fact, almost everybody does the complete opposite of that. They do it unknowingly, because the only time they really want to get into investments is when they hear a buzz about it, when they hear things in the news, things are going up, things are going well. And because of that, they start putting money into stuff. And conversely, when the news flips and goes the other way and things are selling off, that's when they rush out and sell down their position. So almost everybody, without realizing it, does the complete opposite, and they buy at a high and they sell at a low. Investing is something that you need to train yourself to do. And more importantly, you need to pick investments that match your needs. So it's not a question of me being able to say that you should just go out and buy this. And we're going to get into exactly why that is. A useful way of thinking about this is, imagine a tradesman who's working on a project. Maybe he's building a wooden lodge or something like that. And he goes into a hardware store and he picks out a packet of screws, and he asks the guy at the store, should I buy these screws? Well, of course, the guy in the store is going to have absolutely no idea if those are the right screws for the job. You have to understand what it is that you're trying to achieve in order to make sense of what the right purchase for you is. So what we're going to do in this mini-series is we're going to give you the right mindset. We're going to try and give you a series of pointers that, if applied, will consistently tip the odds in your favor, at least certainly more so than they are now. A good way of starting to think about this, at least, is even though there are many, many different ways to make money, there are a few consistent behaviors that will consistently lose you money. So perhaps the number one skill is learning not to lose, but also applying what works for your personality type. I spend a lot of time personally watching interviews with great investors about how it is that they do what they do. And a lot of the time, I understand what it is that they're doing. It makes sense, and I could probably replicate the technique myself, but I don't. And the reason I don't is because the way that they're approaching investments just doesn't fit something about me. It could be my psychology, it could be the time frame, it could be the type of commitment that they're putting into it. For example, traders will get up really early every morning and they look through news flow, and then they'd be on it every minute of the day, and then at the end of the trading day they'll close out. Then you'll get other types of investors who follow momentum. You get some who follow Fed news. You get all of these different approaches. So there's so many different ways that you can approach investments and make it work for you. But if you don't understand how you approach it, your psychology, and what it is that you're trying to get out of it, you will be one of those people who consistently lose. Now, there are some other things to take in mind as well, some other disclaimers that I put into this, is it can be very difficult to set a framework in a game like investing because the rules can change. And you won't be notified when those rules change. Can you imagine playing a game of any sort where the rules were liable to change halfway through and nobody tells you that? This happened quite noticeably over the last year. The absolute mainstay of the establishment, effectively the boomer portfolio model, is something called the 60-40 portfolio, which was 60% in equities and it was 60% in equities and 40% in bonds. And that has just had its worst ever year in terms of performance, because equities got crushed at the same time with what's been going on with interest rates, and we've covered that in previous episodes. Bonds have got crushed because the yields have been going up and the bond prices has been going down. So any off-the-shelf solution, which you're not alive and you're not aware to, can come back to bite you quite hard. And a final mindset thing that I want to throw in is you have to be careful about separating your personal beliefs as to what you want the world to look like to what will actually make money. People have been suffering in this more recently with stuff like ESG, where they wanted corporates to follow a certain sort of woke agenda, but that doesn't necessarily yield those same results. And there could be examples on the non-woke side as well, hoping that certain more based investment types are going to respond, and they haven't over time. So we need a new set of skills. We need to learn how to think. We need to learn how to research. We need to understand different asset types. We need to understand how to build a case for investment. We need to know how to manage that investment. We need to understand the tax implications, and we need to understand the timings as well. There are no quick fixes, but what we can do through this mini-series is we can start to paint the picture. Using fairly broad strokes, but a stroke at a time, and you will start to pick up useful ideas if you just want to listen casually. And as we get into the later part of this mini series, I will be giving you references so that you can seriously upskill yourself if you want to take this to the next level, if you want to really build your investment abilities. This first video is going to be an introduction to investments. It's going to be a focus on how to think about these issues rather than how to actually get in there and do it. Because what I need to do is I need to expand your conceptual framework, your conceptual working space, before we start populating that working space with investment tools. The first factors that I want to talk about is timing, volatility, taxes, risk and return, and we also look at the opportunity costs as well. So I'll throw those up on the screen: timing, volatility, taxes, risk and return. If you don't have a clear sense in your mind as to where you stand on each of these things, a bad investment can look great, and I will give examples of that. And a wonderful investment can also look awful if you take too narrow a view of these things. That might sound like nonsense. Let me give you an example. And this is going to be a real life example. So let's say somebody comes to you and they're telling you about this remarkable new tech company. And what they're doing is revolutionary. It could change the market. Is that good or bad advice? You know, you probe this guy and he seems to really know what he's talking about. He's done all the homework and he genuinely believes that this tech company is going to be a great investment and he sounds incredibly convincing. You know, is that good or bad advice? Well, let's say you take 50 grand. You've got 50 grand for whatever reason and you invest it into this company. And 1 month later, your 50 grand is now down 42%. It's now worth £29,000. Is it good or bad advice now? Now, you might be thinking, okay, well, I'm going to be a bit contrarian and I'm going to say, well, you know, it's down at the moment, but you know, this is how the stock market works. It can come back again. What if I told you that same investment, a year later after that was down a further 98% and that your 50 grand that you had now put in is now worth £469. So a fraction of what you originally put in. Now, at this point, it should be quite obvious, shouldn't it? Is this a good or bad investment? It seems pretty obvious that this is a bad investment. Now, let's go forward 10 years. This investment is now valued at £88,000. So you put in 50, it drops significantly, but now it's at 88. So you've gone from 50 grand to 88 grand over 10 years. It's not stellar. It's not shoot the lights out crazy performance, but that's pretty solid, basically. That's a pretty nice return. It's certainly a lot more than you would have got if you left that 50 grand in the bank. So it seems entirely reasonable, doesn't it? What about 20 years later? 20 years after your original investment, how is your 50 grand that's gone to 88 grand doing now? Well, now it's at 1.6 million. Like I said, this is a real example. What I've just given you is the performance of Amazon stock. If you had bought it, and the date I picked for the start was pretty much the top of the dot-com boom, I picked the middle of June 99, where your 50 grand would have bought you about 900,000 shares, split adjusted, went down and down and down till it was a very small amount and then came absolutely roaring back as the initial hypothesis of this stock proved viable. So, you know, I ask you again, is this a good or bad investment? Well, now it sounds like it's an absolutely amazing investment, right? But, you know, not necessarily, because we've not addressed any of those issues that we talked about a moment ago, those volatility and timing risks. So does the timing matter to you? What if that money was for something? It's all very well if that money was something that you didn't need to touch for 20 years. And that's basically going in to fund your retirement. But what if you needed it for buying a home? What if you're a young person and that money was your home deposit? And it's all very well thinking, okay, you know, years later, you've got all this money piled up for retirement. But you needed to live a life in those intervening 20 years. And that money could have gone into getting you started on your first home. So you didn't have to spend those 20 years renting. And in that home, you raised a family and had a good life. What if it's even more time sensitive than that? What if you had 50 grand and you needed 55 grand for an operation that you needed? And that was a life-saving operation. Well, what good does it do you to have, you know, millions 20 years later if you didn't get the operation you needed to save your life? And that's just the timing on this. The other aspect of this is the volatility as well. So it's all very well taking historical examples like this of what would have happened if you invested in Amazon, but it ignores the human psychology that you would have experienced during that time. You know, how many people really did buy Amazon stock during that? Well, lots of people would have bought Amazon stock during the dot-com bubble because everybody was piling into dot-com, but how many of them actually held it 20 years later? You know, the answer is probably Jeff Bezos and Jeff Bezos' mum and dad. That's probably the only three people in the world who actually managed to hang on to it for that whole 20 years. Everybody else gets shaken out. And the reason you get shaken out is because you put money in, you watch it go down, you feel like an absolute fool. You're certainly not going to be going to the pub talking about this great investment that you made, which you're now down 98% on. And the whole environment around it as well. You would have been turning on the TV every night, hearing about the latest story about these dot-com companies, these crazy dot-com companies that had gone bust. You'd be watching news reports where people who never got involved in the first place would be sitting there looking very sage and very sensible, saying, oh, yes, I knew these things were a con all along. It was complete madness. It was a complete bubble. And, you know, just ask yourself, realistically, if you had put money in, would you really carried it all the way down to £500, and even if you did get there, I mean, what would your thinking be at that point? Most people would have at that point just said, okay, I give up. I'm selling it. At least with £500, I'll get a good weekend out of it, as opposed to taking any more pain because you feel so foolish at that point. And this was an investment which has no risk on it, because we're using the whole time travel thing of going back and telling somebody about a wonderful stock that's going to be great in the future. Actually, with these type of revolutionary tech stocks, to pick an example, the risk of them not succeeding is genuinely high. So, you know, again, if you had this time machine, you might want to go back and tell yourself about buying Facebook stock back in the early days when that was starting up. But, you know, even these companies, their success was never guaranteed. It was a product of a great idea, but typically these ideas, when they come around, they come around within a time. Now, I can tell you from my days in venture capital, when I used to get business plans in, quite often I'd get a cluster of very, very similar businesses coming along. It was an idea whose time had come. And loads of people would be jumping on the back of this and trying to build a business around it. So quite often I would be speaking to founders and they would be trying to say, I want you to sign an NDA before we even talk to you about this, because nobody else has had this idea. And on my desk, I've got three other business plans, which are basically doing the same thing, because three other people have come up with this idea. And there's probably loads more of them that I didn't even know about. So an idea, when it comes along, lots of people are going to be working on it. So let's go back to the Facebook thing. Let's say you had a time machine and you went back and you found Mark Zuckerberg, and you pulled him aside a year early. And you said, I think you're the man to start a social networking company. And you start giving him all of these ideas of things that he could do. And you say, look, I'll give you a bit of money to get you started, but I want a big stake of the company. And you think that's going to make you rich. Well, the thing with Facebook is there were very, very similar companies founded by incredibly smart, able people who had the ability to execute, who launched a year earlier than Facebook, and nothing came of them, because they launched slightly before the optimal window, before the time for that idea had really come. And likewise, there were very, very similar businesses that launched a year later. And again, they didn't succeed either, because by then Facebook was already like a snowball rolling downhill. It was already absorbing everything. And so, you know, they couldn't get it going. So even if you had, perfect foresight, or you had a time machine and you went back and you tried to get your money into one of these things, it would be very easy to disturb something so that, you shift the bounds of which these ideas can really work and be transformative. So, and this is with a time machine, right? I'm looking now at some of the big technology trends that are coming our way, things around, say, AI and robotics. And I understand that the risk in a lot of these companies, even if I do loads of homework on them, even if I really dig deep into what it is they're offering, I might back something slightly too early or slightly too late, and a competitor that I never saw coming, perhaps because it wasn't raising money or it was privately funded or whatever it is, wherever it came from, comes through and it dominates all of this as well. So all of these factors That timing factor, that volatility that can shake you out, and that risk. No matter how much work you do, if it's a complicated idea, there's always going to be that risk as well. And that leads you to having to really moderate what you're looking to achieve on the return scale to match against all of these factors that can knock you out. Before I go further on investing, though, I do want to talk about fundamental investment. And in that, I mean in things like yourself. So the most important investment that you are ever going to make is in yourself. You will never regret investments that you make in that respect. So, you know, upskill yourself. Increase your value. Increase your ability to earn. Pick something that you enjoy and get really good at doing this. And the challenge that I'd say to you on all of this is, you know, is there something... And I'm saying to you, the viewer right now, is there something that you can do better than 99% of the population? If there isn't, start there. If there is something that you can do and you do it professionally, ask yourself, can I do it better than 80% of the people who do this professionally? And again, if you can't say yes to that, focus on that, because investing gets way easier when you have an in-demand skill set. And you have a good income and you can support yourself, because it takes you out of that whole issue around being so sensitive to volatility and timing.
To watch the full video, please become a premium member at lotuseaters.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.